We're lucky to be able to talk to John Millay while he's in town. I know he jet sets across the country constantly. Sometimes gets on the net jet to Iowa. So next week, he's probably going to be in San Francisco, I'm guessing. You know, that's how he rolls. And when he's not doing that, he's driving around Minnesota, coming up with the best prep stories. This is Preps Day with John Millay. This is our prep sports show at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all the shows as they were released. Best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app to either this show or our many other shows. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton, and Pizza Barn in Princeton, and Rudy Luther Toyota. So interesting developments this week. No to boys volleyball, yes to girls wrestling. I'm all in favor of expanding sports. I am a little curious as why didn't it work out for boys volleyball?
Yeah, Jim, this was interesting. The high school league's representative assembly met online Tuesday. This is a group that meets once a year. We talked about this a little last week. They're kind of the legislative body of the high school league. If any bylaws are going to be changed, they have to get approval from the rep assembly. So, and it's always an interesting meeting, but this one was way out there. I've been covering for the newspaper or part of these meetings for 15, maybe 20 years. This one was interesting, and part of that was just because it was on Zoom. Normally, these 48 people get together in a hotel ballroom and take a couple hours and do it. But I'll tell you what this rep assembly, how it's put together. It's 24 people from small schools, and it's 24 people from large schools. And for high school league purposes, we break the state down into 8 geographic regions. And each region selects 3 people from their Class A schools, the small ones, and 3 others from Class AA, the big school. So there's your 48. So this group met online. There were 2 proposals for the group to vote on, either yes or no. And they don't have to vote. If nobody makes a motion to approve, that's where it dies. And that's happened in the past. That wasn't the case this time. The first proposal they voted on was adding boys volleyball as a spring sport. The second one, adding postseason competition section state tournaments for girls wrestling. You know, and last week I talked briefly about both of those, and I wondered if the high school league financial issues might play a role in the decisions. And I'll tell you what, Jim, to be honest, I'm having a hard time characterizing the reasons people voted as they did, because it's a big group. No one's obligated to announce why they're voting as they are, but and when it came time for the votes, and these were roll call votes, there's 48 people. Someone in our office calls a name. They unmute, say yes or no. When we do these in person, everybody kind of has a paddle. It's kind of like a fancy auction. Everybody has a kind of a cardboard laminated paddle with a number on it. Every delegate has a number. And if they say, okay, all in favor, raise your paddles, they just count the paddles. And as all opposed, raise your paddles, they count those. This is a roll call vote. Everybody's on the record. I don't think that had any bearing on the decisions, but when it came time for the votes, my best guess, and I know I wasn't alone, was that boys volleyball would pass and girls wrestling would fail. And man, oh man, was I wrong. I had it completely backwards. The volleyball proposal did not pass. It was close, but it didn't. And adding a girls postseason wrestling passed easily. And the way the two groups, the volleyball people and the wrestling people, attack this was really different. For the volleyball proposal, there were 8 speakers who talked to the 48 assembly members. There were some high school boys volleyball players, 1 or 2 athletic directors. Hugh McCutcheon, we all know, the Gophers women's volleyball coach, and Gwen Walls, the spouse of our governor and the mother of an 8th grade son who is interested in playing volleyball. I'm not exactly sure how Gwen Wall's comments landed, since she went well beyond the 3-minute period that every speaker gets. And she admitted several times she knows nothing about volleyball. But, you know, she was persuasive. And Hugh McCutcheon, he has talked to the board of directors about this before. This proposal has come up before. And I'm kind of squishy on that, because having Hugh argue that high schools should have boys volleyball when the university he coaches at doesn't have men's volleyball,
yeah,
that kind of works both ways, I think. But overall, I thought the volleyball presentation was well done. They made good points about opportunities and other valid reasons for adding volleyball. So then it came time for anybody to comment on the wrestling proposal. And there were no wrestling people lined up to speak. It just, there were no comments for or against. I thought, oh, that's not, that doesn't represent your efforts very well if you can't have one person, maybe from the Wrestling Coaches Association or whoever, to just say, we think this would be great for our sport, great for girls. But there wasn't any. And I thought that may be a danger sign. And the way these things have to pass with a 2/3 vote. So with 48 members, everybody was on hand. That means you got to get 32 votes. The boys volleyball proposal had 29 votes, 29 yes votes, 18 no votes with one abstention. I don't know why someone would abstain. Someone must have been feeling some heat from either direction. I don't know. So they needed 31 to make boys volleyball happen as a spring sport. They got 29. And for girls, for a postseason for girls wrestling, it was 44 yeses to 4 noes. That baby sailed through. So what that means is, starting next winter, we'll have section and state competitions for female wrestlers. And there's been some misunderstandings from some of our media people here who don't really cover high school sports. Girls have always been able to wrestle on the boys' teams, always. And they can wrestle against boys, they can wrestle against girls. But under the new setup, girls will still mostly train and compete with boys during the regular season, although there's a possibility of some coaches lining up girls-only tournaments or, you know, however they want to do it during the regular season. And then once we get to the postseason, there will be, if there are enough athletes, there will be section tournaments for, you know, girls wrestling with girls, and then some of those will advance to state. We don't know how many. We don't know the weight classes. We don't really know how many girls will wrestle next winter, but those numbers will grow in future years. I think we're the 31st or 32nd state to officially add girls wrestling. And I've written about, we've had two girls qualify for state wrestling in the past, and neither one of them was able to win a match. But I was down in Pipestone years ago when a girl from, what was the school down there? I think she went to school in Slayton or Fulda. I was at the section tournament when she qualified for state, the first female to qualify for state wrestling. It was epic. It was really cool. I mean, she made history. And then we've had another one since. But I think I mentioned last week the finances about the high school league and some of these decisions. The one that some of the board members or the assembly members brought up was Title IX. If we add boys volleyball, does that mean we're going to have to add a girls sport? Because a lot of people don't realize Title IX doesn't just affect colleges. It affects schools. Public schools have to be on board with Title IX. You have to have a certain percentage of boys and girls participating, or at least have the opportunities. And if that gets out of whack, the Justice Department, the Department of Education, I think, comes in and you got to do something. So that was part of it. There were some Twitter comments from people who don't really know much about this, and it's pretty common. Stop right there. What?
Twitter comments from people who don't know what they're talking about? That can't be.
I didn't know Twitter allowed that. I thought there was some quality control meter on there. And I saw a couple of people on Twitter saying, this is nothing but Metro versus Outstate. The Metro schools want boys volleyball. The Outstate schools don't care. But the vote did not go that way. So the Class A members voted 18-6 in favor of boys volleyball. And the big schools, many of them from the Metro, 11 in favor of boys volleyball and 12 against, again with that one abstention. So this was not Metro saying yes and Outstate saying no. This was Metro saying no and Outstate saying yes. So, and I think part of that might be some of the ADs and administrators, not all ADs, there's principals and school board members and superintendents and coaches. I think part of it was in some of these busy schools where spring is the busiest season already, if you add another spring sport that is going to need gym space to practice, on bad weather days, what do your other spring sports do when they can't be outside? You know, and then you got to line up transportation officials. Someone even wondered if it'd be easy to find boys volleyball coaches, because by that time the girls coaches, most of them, I don't know how many, but are involved in Junior Olympic volleyball. So, and I don't know where boys volleyball goes from here. They've been working on this for, I think, close to 5 years, and I know they're disappointed. They thought this was a shoe-in, I think, and they'll keep at it. I get the sense there's a feeling that if boys volleyball had been proposed to be held in the fall, right along with girls basketball, just like we do with boys and girls basketball, boys and girls track, golf, baseball, and softball. If they had proposed a fall season for boys volleyball, it would have had a better chance. It might have gotten over the hump. I don't know if they come back with that then, how that'll work, but As I thought about this and kind of got over my surprise on how this came out, I kind of think the bottom line is we already have wrestling. We already have a calendar for wrestling. We know how a wrestling season looks, and adding adding postseason tournaments for a small number of girls, that's not a huge change. I mean, it's huge for girls who want to wrestle. There'll be a bigger spotlight for girls only wrestling in the postseason, but it's not a massive upheaval. Adding a brand new sport in an already hectic spring, that's just too problematic for people, I think. And that's what I took from this meeting. There were too many hurdles. And like I said, it was the big schools that voted no. I think the small school theory was, yeah, we're not going to do that in our school. We don't have enough kids, but we're not going to stop the big schools from doing it. And then the big school vote didn't come down in favor of it. So it's, like I said, it was one of the most interesting, surprising meetings like this I've ever been a part of. And, congratulations to wrestling. They really wanted this. A lot of girls and families will be happy with this. It'll put a new angle on postseason wrestling, especially the state tournament. It'll be new. It'll be fun. And boys volleyball, they're not going away. They're still at it, and they'll decide where they go next.
And I've written about Hugh McCutchen extensively over the years. And I will tell you that, he played high school volleyball in New Zealand. He ended up getting a scholarship at BYU, ended up playing internationally and in Europe, ended up coaching men's Olympic team before he started coaching the women's Olympic team. So, yeah, I think he is fairly invested in men's volleyball in his own way. Hey, a couple of developments here at TalkNorth.com. I'm doing my own show. It's called Black Muted. It's me being very opinionated for half the show, then having a nice conversation with some of my favorite people for the second half of the show. This last week, it was Mike Vec. This week it'll be Lindsey Whalen. We've had some really cool guests. Check that out. We've also added Lavelle Neal III to our baseball show, Chin Music. Check those out, please. Also want to thank our sponsors, Pizza Barn in Princeton and Rudy Luther Toyota. John, update us on what's happening with Jody Stay and Pizza Barn.
Yeah, things are great at the Pizza Barn, Jim. I think we're probably a matter of weeks before we're doing another live show up there. And,
yes.
And the big news, we've talked about it, is the Pizza Barn food truck. And that rig is rolling all over the area. We talked about them going down to Hayfield to cater a welcome, a celebration dinner for the boys 1A basketball state championships. And Jody Stay has family ties down in Hayfield. And so the food truck, the food truck has its own Twitter account now and a Facebook page. That's how cool this food truck is.
It also has a Talk North logo on it.
And a Talk North logo, a Preps Today with John Millay logo on it. How cool is that? And I can just tell people this week, the truck, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it will be at Vintage Pixie Boutique in Cambridge from 10 to 4, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I can honestly say I am neither vintage nor pixie, and I don't hang out in boutiques, but if there's pizza at the front door, I just might do that. So
you might be vintage, Joe.
I might be vintage. Yeah. I might be vintage. My youngest child just turned 30, so I think that qualifies me as vintage. And we've talked about the pizza of the month for May, the fajita pizza, and daily specials up at the Pizza Barn in Princeton, available for dine and takeout. They have take and bake options, and then delivery. It's all good stuff, and we love being partners with the Pizza Barn.
Yes, we do. Thank you to Jody Stay. Thank you also to Rudy Luther, Rudy Luther Toyota.
Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
All right, let's buzz through some fun stuff here. Sportsmanship update.
Yeah, this isn't that much fun, Jim. This is a bad sportsmanship update.
That.
No, that's okay. I didn't give you any details. This is bad sportsmanship. This happened during the representative assembly meeting. I'm still shaking my head about this. So there are 48 members. They all take their responsibility seriously. They're true professionals in doing this work. Well, at least 47 members of them are. I'm not going to name the person who embarrassed themselves as this meeting closed, but I'll talk you through it. It was a high school principal from one of the biggest schools in the state, the schools in the South Suburban Conference. I'm not going to go any farther than that. This person clearly was disappointed when the boys volleyball proposal was voted down. Because, you know, then the next roll call vote was wrestling, and basically everybody during the wrestling vote, they hear their name, they say yes or no. No comments, just yes or no to the wrestling proposal. This person said no. He might have said yes, I don't know, but then he said, and I'm very disappointed in the previous vote. So he's making it known he's mad about the volleyball vote. Not the time to do it. I don't know this person. I'd never heard this person's name until the Zoom call when I said, who is that? Who's saying that? But he left an impression for sure, a bad impression. You know, and then it kept getting worse. You know, and you say you're disappointed in the previous vote. Okay, duly noted. Let's move on. And then he was just getting warmed up. You know, and with a roll call vote, everything has to be a roll call vote of 48 people, including a motion to adjourn the meeting. The business is done. This is simple. You hear your name, you say yes. You know, I will vote to adjourn. 47 of them did. This guy voted no to adjourn. And then as the meeting closed, the president of the board is thanking everybody, and this ends the meeting, and people are logging off. The little windows on the Zoom screen are disappearing. This principal stayed on, and he was making faces. He was giving two thumbs down. He was waving his hands at the camera, you know, like an NBA coach dissing the officials. This is a high school's principal doing this. He was upset, clearly. But this isn't how you do it, by making a fool of yourself. I mean, this was utter nonsense. I've seen some weird things, and I got to thinking about it afterwards. If one of the coaches at his school had acted like that towards officials, the coach would be called on the carpet. If a student at that school had acted like that at a sporting event or in the classroom, any school event, there'd be consequences. But for some unhinged reason, this person made himself a total embarrassment, you know, to his school and his community and to this entire group. And we were talking about it in the office afterwards, and none of us even knew who this person was. None of us had ever heard this person's name. We couldn't have told you who the principal at the school was. And everybody knows now, and man, what a red mark for that school. And I thought too, if I had kids in that school, I'd have real concerns about the leadership when I see that kind of behavior. It was, I don't know what to compare it to, Jim. I just thought this is a grown adult in a position of leadership just acting like a jackass. Pardon my French, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I'm not going to identify names or schools, but yeah, it was one for the books. I hope I never see that again.
Where in American life would somebody get the idea they could behave like that?
I don't understand it. I don't get that. I've never seen it before. Well, we did mention Twitter, but at least on Twitter, you're not live on video.
That's true.
You know, and there were a lot of people listening to the call. The media are part of these, but they don't have video. So basically, the only people who could see it were high school league staff and the other 47 members of this group. And I don't get that at all. I don't see how an educator in a high position like that thinks that's appropriate or that that's a good lesson for anybody. I'm just embarrassed all around.
Well, you'll have to text me the person's name, and if they keep behaving like that, maybe we'll have to call them out.
There you go. We'll see. Yes. We'll see.
All right, let's get on some actual good stuff. A 20-year-old state record.
Yeah, I really had a good time recently. The boys' state record in the discus turns 20 years old this spring. And I'm an old high school thrower, very below average thrower, but I love watching kids throw the discus and the shot. And I'm a track guy, you know. I think people who know me know I'm a Drake University graduate. The Drake relays and track and field in general are near and dear to my heart. So 20 years ago, Carl Erickson from Rochester Century set this state record. And I got him on the phone. He still lives in Rochester. He works for the Mayo Clinic and is the strength and conditioning coach at Rochester Lourdes High School. And boy, did we have a fun chat. We told old stories about, you know, I told him about my crappy throwing career. He's 38 years old. I'm 62. But I said, Carl, we're old throwers. We're in the same club. And he was a great thrower. You know, he was a Big Ten champion at the University of Minnesota. Competed for national championships, you know, competed at the Olympic trials, was really something. So on a cold, wet day at Park High School, he threw the discus 201 feet, 7 inches. That's the only time in Minnesota history a high school kid has thrown the discus 200 feet. Wow. And I've known about this record for a long time, ever since I started covering high school sports. I keep track of these records. I look at that one. I think it's the fourth oldest on record. And he was kind of telling me the story. And he said he threw it. You know, he's trying to keep warm. He's wearing a parka. It's kind of wet. He's trying to keep his discus dry. But clearly his technique and his form were perfect, because he said as soon as he let it go, he knew it was a good one. And they couldn't measure it because the tape measure wasn't long enough. So there was a delay. They had to find another tape measure. And then they triangulated it, which is how they measure the discus now at big meets. They don't use tape measures. But they were able to triangulate it, get it down to the precise 2017. And like I said, every year there are good discus throwers on the boys' side and the girls. And I'll tell you what, these kids coming up who kind of in that top five in the state, kind of that state championship level, they know what this record is, and they are shooting for it. I think a few years ago, somebody threw 199 something, but nobody's been able to crack that 200 foot mark. And Carl was not just a good thrower. I mean, he was a state champ in the discus and shot as a junior and a senior. And as a sophomore, he went to state in the high jump. That's what kind of athlete he was. And like I said, had a great career at the U of M and competing in NCAA meets and trained at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, I think for 3 years after college. And boy, did we have fun talking about our favorite sport. It was really, really fun to talk to him and write about it.
That's cool stuff. Let's go to All in the Family.
Another really neat story, a lot different than that one. I found out from Dave Rochelot. He's the athletic director at Pierce High School. He sent me a note about their boys and girls golf teams. Basically, almost everybody's related on these golf teams, because Jessica LeBlanc is the girls' coach. She's got 4 kids. They're all golfers. She's got a sister with kids who are golfers. She's the oldest of 8 kids. They all grew up in Pierce. They all played golf. And now they all have kids golfing. So 17 of the golfers, which is most of the 2 combined teams, are siblings or cousins. And they all hang out on the little 9-hole course in Pierce, which I learned doing the work on this was a WPA project in the 30s, which is really cool. But it's cousins, it's nieces and nephews. They hang out on the golf course. They have family outings. They play different events in the summer together. So if you go to John's Journal at mshsl.org, you can read about Carl Erickson's discus record and the cool golf family at Pierce.
Excellent. What do you want to go to next? Good stuff. Thank you, Raph.
Yeah, let's log good stuff. I got a couple of really cool items here in Farmington High School. They did something really neat. I think it's still going on. They're doing leadership training, which isn't rare at high school. They will take, you know, leaders and captains and athletes and all kinds of kids go through some form of leadership training. So they've got 30 kids involved in this latest one. But what's really cool is the people leading this are girls hockey coach John Holmes and band director Aaron Holmes, who just happened to be married. So you got this married couple very involved in different activities, hockey and band. leading this leadership training for kids at Farmington High School. That's exceptional. And the other really cool thing is Larry McKenzie, who we all know is one of the legendary yes. high school boys basketball coaches. The Minnesota State High School Coaches Association has named Larry as its diversity and inclusion officer. Yep. And that's really a good move. You know, this state isn't known for its diversity, especially outside the metro. And in fact, on the representative assembly of those 48 people, I think there were one or two African Americans, I think two females, everything else white males. These are things that we need to look at. Every group needs to be cognizant of this stuff. So I applaud the High School Coaches Association, which that's coaches in all sports and activities, for putting Larry in this important role, and he'll do a great job.
Yeah, no, I thought I saw that on Twitter earlier this week. I think that's a great move. I don't personally know Coach McKenzie, but I know of him. I think that's an excellent move. And the other interesting thing you mentioned, John Holmes, I met him because he's buddies with Sammy Schmitz, the amateur golfer who went to the Masters. And, you know, so that's a cool thing. You brought up two great names there. Let's go to Thank a Ref.
Yeah, this is a video Thank a Ref. Sam Ali is the sports director at Fox 21 in Duluth. I don't know if I've ever talked to Sam in person, but we've done some things online. He's had me on Zoom for a couple of interviews. And he does a segment every week called Sam Spotlight. And the one that I retweeted, and people have seen it. He's talking about how we treat high school officials. And on his tweet, when he sent this out initially, he said, "I'm urging everyone to treat high school officials better, or pretty soon we won't have anyone to referee games." It's a really cool short video that Sam did a great job on. And if you just go to Twitter, go to @SamAliSports, S-A-M-A-L-I Sports, you'll find that video. So that's really nicely done by Sam, and I encourage everyone to find that.
Good deal. Excellent. All right. Shot clock news.
Yeah, this is just within the last hour before we started taping the show here, Jim. The National Federation, which oversees high school sports and rules across the country, sent out a press release. The headline is "Shot Clock Allowed by State Adoption for High School Basketball in 2022-23. And people will see that and say, all right, everybody's going to have a shot clock starting in the winter of 22. It's not that simple. This doesn't change much. States have always had the option to use shot clocks, and a few do, not tons. But I think what this really means is that the way the National Federation works, if you want to have someone from your state governing party on a rules committee for a specific sport, you can't go away from any rules the National Federation has. And I think right now in Minnesota, you know, we play halves instead of quarters in basketball. That goes against the National Federation basketball rules. So I don't know if we can have anybody from Minnesota serve on the National High School Basketball Rules Committee, because we don't follow every rule. And basically this just means whether you have shot clocks or not, someone from your state's governing body is eligible to be on the National Rules Committee. That's how I read this. It doesn't, you know, states have always had, this is kind of like girls have always been able to wrestle with boys. States have always been able to use shot clocks, and a lot of them, well, not a lot, but, you know, 12 or 13 or 14, I don't know how many. So people will be all excited that we're going to have shot clocks. It's not quite that simple, but I think it's a move in a good direction.
Good deal. All right. We also have a Twitter comment. Did you want to read it or should I?
Go ahead. You read it and I'll answer it.
Perfect. From Phil Stark, John, do you see any COVID protocols sticking around in a post-COVID world? For example, digital tickets. Also, as a high school announcer and scoreboard operator, shout out to all others and game day ops for helping and serving during a crazy year.
Yeah, Phil's right. It's been a crazy year, and there's all those behind the scenes people who have kept things going and are still doing that this spring. Yeah, I think we're going to see some COVID things sticking around as far as high school sports go. And the greatest example, as he said, is digital tickets. And we had those before, but that has really, that's become almost, you know, not even an option now for all of our state tournaments. Everything was digital. Some of those tournaments, depending on the facility's ability to use digital, have been doing that anyway. We're going to see more of that. And we've talked about this before, streaming of high school events. That just blew up this past year. you know, schools are not only streaming their athletic events, they're streaming everything's going on in school. You know, they might have a choir concert, but maybe only 50 people can actually be there and everybody else can watch online. So I think between digital ticketing and streaming, we'll see that. You know, I think masks are probably going to go away. Certainly they're gone now for outdoor activities, and maybe by the fall they'll be gone for indoor. I don't know. You know, we don't know what'll happen, but we're in a good place. We've learned a lot, and I keep telling people the thing I really learned through this whole pandemic experience is just how much I appreciate all these activities, but mostly all the people that, like Phil mentioned, all the people, most of them behind the scenes who do so much so these kids get these opportunities.
Good stuff. Boy, that was a packed show. Thanks for bringing us all
the insights. Yeah, we crammed a lot into that one.
Yeah, and the insights into how the meeting went and that we have a crazy high school principal. That's all fascinating. A little disturbing, but fascinating.
Yes.
Hey, thank you to John. Check out all the shows across the Talk North platform. We have pretty much everything in the sports and outdoor world covered, and we continue adding to our stockpile. So thank you. Thank you to Pete Sparn in Princeton, Jody Stay, and Rudy Luther Toyota. And we'll be back next week to tell you more about what's going on around the state.